present Clement Freud, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo and Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard from our announcer, we have our four regular male panelists competing against each other. And as usual, they will try and speak for just a minute on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. And we're going to begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo, and the subject is the Broads. Derek, will you tell us something about the Broads in just a minute, starting now?
The Broads, I suppose, really, one of the most delightful parts of England. Norfolk, I think, is almost my favourite county. They were, to a large extent, or man-made, because it was when they started to draw an excessive amount of peat from the land that these indentations were formed, which then became ponds and lakes and little rivers and tributaries flowed into them. These days, they are used, I suppose, mainly for pleasure purposes, although there is a wealth of wildlife living on the banks of the Broads, and boating there during the summer months is particularly delectable. One passes in that county such beautiful churches.
Peter Jones, a church.
A repetition of county.
Yes, yes. I mean, we can't mention Norfolk enough, because it is a wonderful county. They make some wonderful television programs up there. But you did repeat the word county, so it was a correct challenge on the half of Peter Jones, and so there's a point there, Peter, and there are 25 seconds left for the Broads, starting now.
I think that the Broads were the people that the GIs were most anxious to meet when they came over at the beginning of World War II.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Deviation. Alas, they didn't come over at the beginning of World War II.
No, it would be quite different if they had, wouldn't it?
Well, it was nearer the beginning than the end.
Didn't seem so at the time.
At the beginning. So it was deviation, and there are 13 seconds, Derek, for you. You have a point for a correct challenge, and you get the subject of the Broads back, starting now.
But I've forgotten those sort of mall-like ladies that are called Broads. Yes, are they derived perhaps from the word Broadway? Maybe, I don't know. But when one is in New York, one seems to see a tremendous number of Broads, and very lovely they are, too. And as they toddle around in their...
Well, Ian Messiter brings his little whistle with him to every program, and he blows it. He blows it at the end of 60 seconds that tells us that the time is up and whoever is speaking at that moment gains the extra point. Derek Nimmo, you did so then, and you are now in the lead at the end of the first round. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round and the subject so apt for our game, letting off steam? Would you talk on that in just a minute, starting now?
Letting off steam virtually means that if you are pent up, or full of things, or replete with go, as Kenneth Williams would have it, you rest for a moment or two in order...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Three oars.
Now, that was a correct challenge, Derek. I don't hesitate in giving it to you. And there are 47 seconds. Letting off steam, starting now.
Letting off steam, I suppose, was one of the first expressions to come into the language from the steam age. Hitherto, we'd used mainly things from the world of sail. To let off steam means to take the lid off. I mean, if you had a great big engine and there was an excess of steam, you in some way release the steam to remove the
and
pressure.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, he couldn't get his steam out, could he? His lid was stuck on, and so Peter Jones got in with a correct challenge, and 29 seconds left. Letting off steam, Peter, starting now.
It takes me back to the days of the old steam trains on the Great Western Railway that carried people.
Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think I agree with that, Derek. And there are 20 seconds left for letting off steam, starting now.
The London, Midland and Scottish Railway. I lived quite near to a railway embankment, and I remember when I was a tiny child... I know what I'm saying, right? I'm so sorry.
Repetition of railway.
Yes, there was two railways there. And perhaps we'll have
I got as far as rail, and I said the relation a bit rather quickly, hoping you wouldn't hear, but I knew you would.
Well, he's got good hearing, and he has 14 seconds for letting off steam, starting now.
One of the most attractive parts of letting off steam is that If you live close to a railway, you wake up in the middle of the night, especially if the train does not come past, saying, good heavens, what was that? And it is...
I must explain to the listeners that Ian Messiter enjoyed Clement Freud's remarks so much that I nearly swallowed his whistle. That's why the noise came from the back of his epiglottis. Peter, will you begin the next round? The subject is bumbling. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, it would be easier, really, to give you a demonstration of it than talk about it. However, that's one of the rules of the game, is that one has to make an attempt to discuss or describe or analyze the reasons for attempting to make
Kenneth Williams' challenge.
My hesitation, I thought.
Yes, he really wanted to describe it. He was finding great... I mean, sorry, demonstrate it. Great difficulty on the description, so Kenneth got in. Nice to hear from you, Kenneth.
Yes, and I was worried, really.
There are I'm sure the audience are waiting to hear from you, too. And there are 44 seconds on bumbling, starting now.
This is the method of speech whereby you don't actually stop speaking as certain other people do when they are accused of mumbling. That is to say, not so much cease as become indistinct or inarticulate, lacking influency, one might put it like that. On the other hand, this means to fill in with a mass of verbiage, things which really are little to the point, irrelevant, and people could rightly say...
Peter Jones has challenged.
A repetition of people.
Yes, I'm afraid you mentioned the people before, and so Peter Jones has got a correct challenge, and the subject is bumbling, and there are 9 seconds left, starting now.
Yes, well, I'd like to make a collection of the bumbles that I've heard down the years that have caused me to get dreadful school reports.
Well, Peter Jones got points in that round, and he's now equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo. Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin, and the subject, lovely one, sawing a woman in half. Will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
This is a disgraceful subject to put down in a video program like this. On the other hand, of course, if we were interpreting it as a conjurer's trick, then it is permissible to discuss it. Obviously, nobody in their right mind would saw a lady in half, apart from Dr. Buck Ruxton. I don't know anyone that's actually attempted it, but the magicians do it by means...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of magician.
Yes, yeah. You mentioned the magician before.
I'm oh, sure. Conjurer.
No, I think you said magic, actually, didn't he?
No, conjuring, sir.
Conjuring. Conjuring. Yes, I'm glad I was listening.
I said conjuring trick.
It was a wrong challenge. And there are 42 seconds. We're still with you, Kenneth, having got a point for that wrong challenge. Sawing a woman in half, starting now.
Sawing a woman in half is illusory. She gets into this contraction, do you see? And bits of her are hanging out at each end. So that you think when the blade appears to be actually penetrating the timber, that it is actually going to...
Oh, Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of act.
Two actuallys, yes. 20 seconds are left for sawing a woman in half. Can you do it in that time, Derek? Starting now.
Standing in the Alhambra Theatre on the stage was the great Houdini. On was pushed a great trolley, and a beautiful girl with golden hair down her back, standing 5'3¼" in her cami knickers, climbed into the box, and he lifted up the blade, and with one great sweep, swished it through, and...
Well, Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went, gained another point, and he's increased his lead at the end of that round. I would have challenged him, actually, because I thought Houdini was an escapologist and wasn't a magician. I don't think he ever did that trick. But
probably not, I
don't. I'm not playing the game, so I don't know. Superstitions is the next subject, and Derek, it is your turn to begin, so would you start and tell us something about that in just a minute now?
Walking along the street, I saw a ladder right across, and I thought, well, I mustn't walk underneath it, because if I do, something absolutely frightful happened to me. So I stepped to avoid it, and I was knocked down by a man on a tricycle. Now, I thought this teaches you a lesson. One should not be superstitious. And, in fact, I tend not to be on the whole, but sometimes if I knock over some salt, I will throw it over my shoulder.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of knocked over.
Well, knock, anyway. Yes, that's correct, Clement. There are 35 seconds with you now to talk about superstitions starting now.
One of the most realistic superstitions is, if you're a woman, never to be sawn in half, neither by Houdini nor by anyone else. But in fact, it is a misnomer.
Derek Nimmer has
challenged. Yes, that's not a superstition.
I would agree that's not a superstition, not to be sawn in half.
No, it's a warning.
It's terribly unlucky to be sawn in half.
Very unlucky, but it's not superstition. And, Derek, you have the subject back. There are 23 seconds left, starting now.
If you touch wood, it is supposed to be very lucky. This is said to derive from the habit of touching a piece of the original cross. But in fact, historians have shown that it goes back very much
Clement
earlier.
Freud, a
repetition of in fact. He said it twice in his previous preamble.
All right, Clement, there are 13 seconds for you to take over the subject of superstitions, starting now.
Keeping a balloon in your left-hand jacket pocket is one of the lesser-known superstitions, yet one which I believe is gaining in popularity.
Peter Jones is challenging.
Well, I'm chancing my arm on your advice. I don't think it's lesser-known. I don't think it's known at all.
Something else is certainly not gaining in popularity.
No, that's for sure.
I've had balloons in my jacket.
Yes, but we know all about those. And
you mean
you chanced your arm
you
well,
mean,
Peter, because you
you mean they weren't balloons?
What's that?
They were not balloons then.
Were what? You're talking about the little captions in cartoons now.
No.
Will you please tell me what the subject is? Because I got no clue from the previous speakers.
You needn't worry. There's only 1 second left. The subject is superstitions, and you start now.
Good luck, mate.
So it shows you that it pays to chance your arm, because you get the points and you create the entertainment, which what Just a Minute is all about. So Peter Jones has moved forward. He's now in second place behind Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud in third place, Kenneth Williams in fourth place, and Clement's turn to begin. The subject, cooking chicken Kiev. Would you tell us something about that, Clement, in Just a Minute, starting now?
Cooking...
Derek Nimmo Chuck.
Hesitation.
Well, I'm afraid I must agree, because there's 2 seconds, complete 2 seconds on the clock here, so that must be hesitation. Derek, you have the subject, and there are 58 seconds for cooking chicken Kiev, starting now.
First, kill your chicken, and then you have to prepare.
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
You don't have to kill the chicken to do this at all.
Well, you can't cook it live, mate.
He is inferring that you first have to kill it. You don't, and therefore it's devious to tell
this. I can tell you this, you couldn't make a chicken Kiev with a live chicken.
Don't talk such rubbish. You can go into a shop and buy chickens.
Of course you can.
And they're not squawking.
Do you mean if he was asked to make a rice pudding, would you say he has to go to Siam to pick the rice up?
Very good point.
Well, as Derek has just come back from Hong Kong, he's obviously got his rice, and he probably came back via Russia to find out the correct recipe, and he wasn't deviating, and he has 55 seconds cooking chicken Kiev, starting now.
Getting off the Trans-Siberian Railway at Kiev, I wandered into a shop and purchased some butter and garlic to make my chicken Kiev. I rolled the garlic with some pate and froze the mixture very carefully in a refrigerator.
Clement Freud, a challenge.
Deviation, you can't roll your garlic.
It was the mixture he was rolling.
The mixture.
I didn't say that.
Yes, he did. He made the mixture.
I rolled the garlic.
In a pate.
In a pate, he rolled it all.
Butter.
Like a marble.
Yes,
come out and roll your garlic.
As an expert.
Roll out your garlic.
Well, I mean, I think probably it wasn't a bad effort, you know, on the railway station at Kiev, where apparently he was. Can't be too particular under those circumstances.
Mind you, as an expert, Clement, it might turn you over, but it certainly didn't turn me on. But he wasn't deviating from the cooking a chicken Kiev, however revolting the end result might be. There are 39 seconds left for you to continue, Derek, starting now.
Taking the flesh of the chicken, I wrapped it very carefully around what I'd already created.
Peter Jones, a chance.
He said carefully before, when he was rolling the garlic.
Yes, that's right. He did. He's been very careful, but he wasn't careful enough because he repeated himself. And there are 33 seconds for you, Peter, now to talk about cooking chicken Kiev, starting now.
You can stuff these chicken breasts with the frozen butter flavored with garlic and then put them in an infrared oven, which manages to cook it in a matter of seconds. And then, if you serve it with the rice, which you've previously bought at a shop, not grown, it can be a really delightful dish.
Clement Freud challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
You've really got to deep-fry chicken, Kiev. You can't do it in a microwave.
No, I would agree. And anyway, if you're going to say that's true, I'm not going to disagree with you. So, as a cooking expert, Clement, no, but I know you're right. So there are 13 seconds for cooking chicken, Kiev, starting now.
One of the great joys when you've cooked a chicken, Kiev...
Derek Nimmo's chance.
He's talking about the joys after you've cooked a chicken Kiev rather than cooking a chicken Kiev.
He wasn't deviating from cooking chicken Kiev.
One of the great joys after you've cooked a chicken Kiev.
Of cooking.
Of cooking.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Freud, I do retract.
Where does this sudden politeness come from all of a sudden? Clement, you still have the subject, and there are 9 seconds for cooking chicken Kiev, starting now.
It comes in not telling people what it is that you're putting before them, as a result of which they plunge their knife into the breadcrumb mass and spoil their tie.
Well, at the end of that round, Clement Freud gained some more points, one for speaking as a whistle when he's equal with Peter Jones... And they're 5 points behind Derek Nimmo, who's still in the lead. Kenneth Williams is trailing a little, but we have heard quite a lot from him. So, Kenneth, will you tell us something about George Peabody in just a minute, starting now?
He was the most probably famous in Baltimore philanthropist ever born and was a considerable benefit to this city when he arrived here in the 19th century and, appalled by municipal housing, did a considerable amount to improve the lot of residents of that kind of property. He interested himself in Kane's expedition to the Antarctic and forked out to the tune of 1.5 million, which isn't bad when you come to think of it, and know that money would be worth far more then
than it is now.
He also loved this city which we're all living in now, and chose never to return to North America or the city in Massachusetts.
Kenneth,
I don't wonder. It's only because nobody else wanted the country. I don't worry yourself. They're not generous on this lot.
Anyway, Kenneth Williams started with the subject of George Peabody and kept going with it for a full 60 seconds and told us something very interesting about the American philanthropist, and he gained 2 points and he's still in fourth place. One for not being interrupted and one for speaking as the whistle went. By the way, you did convey, Kenneth, that he gave 1.5 million toward Kane's Arctic expedition. But it was just 1.5 million, I think, he gave away overall.
Why don't you shut your brow, you don't need to... I just want to put the facts right in case people...
I do get letters occasionally. They always think that there's some error.
Well, they can shut their brow as well. I don't want to know. let him come up here and do
I'll tell you this,
some
of them will write about that. You telling me to shut me around, they do, you know.
Well, that's one of those hazards. You see, this is the involuntary, isn't it? The program where you come out with it. You don't hold yourself in. If it's all inhibited, if you don't let it hang out, then nothing would go on, would it? We all just sit here moaning
exactly.
at each other.
And that's when I always reply that part of Just a Minute is the fun that we have.
Precisely. They all know that outside we're all great. No, you haven't bought me a drink for ages.
Derek Nimmo, let's get on with the game and ask you to begin the next round. The subject now is my advice to you. So you can take that in any way you like, and you have just a minute in which to do it, starting now.
My advice to you, Nicholas Parsons, is to clear off as quickly as you can and wash off your street slap before you go down there, because you'll be arrested, mate, or something nasty, or something hit you with a handbag or something. I know there's a nasty...
Williams has challenged.
I cannot... Deviation. I cannot sit here and hear a chairman as fair-minded, as august, as... Sorry, I think it's outside the rules of the game. I don't think it's
It
fair.
Was very devious, wasn't it, Kenneth? And I quite agree
to my
with
advice to him.
And I will now buy you more than one drink. If you...
Well, just a medium, Sherry.
Well, all right, you have a medium point, and you take over the subject of my advice to you with 45 seconds left, starting now.
That line was once written from Queen Victoria to her daughter in Berlin. My advice to you is to be firm with Willie. The wedding will take place at the Chapel Royal and not in Germany. It is not every day that a princeling marries the daughter of the Empress of India and the Queen of Great Britain.
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
With respect to queens.
Yes.
Queen Victoria and Queen Victoria and Queen.
You did repeat the Queen.
I'm nonplussed. I mean, I just... words...
I know, because you were going so beautifully and you were completely carried away. I could see it in your eyes. It was all flowing and you weren't aware of that fact. And it's very sad because you've been very generous to me for once. And, but I have to be fair within the context of... Just a minute. And unfortunately, I have to give the subject back to Derek Nimmo, which I really resent after what he just said. It shows you how fair I am. And Derek, you have 22 seconds to take up the subject of my advice to you, starting now.
My advice to you, dear people, sitting in the audience tonight in the year of our Lord, 1977, is to be nice and charming to everybody that you meet. When you wander along the roads...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, this isn't the year 1977.
It is, actually, Peter.
Is it?
You've forgot to buy your diary.
I know you have. I know you dozed off for a little bit then, but you did perhaps think you were way back in...
1976.
The 1976. I think it's 77 in most places. It certainly is here. So it was a wrong challenge. And there are 10.5 seconds. My advice to you, Derek, and if you knew what my advice to you was, you might be inhibited, but there are 10 seconds left, starting now.
To show consideration to our weak-minded chairman, because although he is not just a pretty face, in fact, it's hardly to be said of anything like that at all, one should feel pity...
I don't know what you were talking about then, but they always laugh
you.
At the pretty big one. Oh. Well, all right, pretty face, Nimmo. You have got a commanding lead. In fact, you've got twice as many points as Peter Jones and Clement Freud, who are equal in second place, and three times as many points as Kenneth Williams. If you want to do some arithmetic at home, you'll find out what the score is. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is my natural habitat. With a dirty laugh in the audience who doesn't think very highly of you, Peter. There is just a minute in which to talk on the subject, starting now.
Well, I suppose it's the stage doors, the dressing rooms, even the stages, West End theatres, the studios, the managers' offices, and, of course, the BBC canteen. Not the Savoy Grill or the old... fashioned great restaurants of the past. Romano's is one that springs to mind. That was never one of my natural habitats. But on the other hand, I am often seen in the small snack bars and takeaway
that Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Well, he didn't take away with hesitation.
No, he was going very well.
I didn't want to mention a brand name, actually. That was what I was...
Well, he wasn't very happy about it, but certainly he kept going. So, Peter, you continue with 28 seconds left on my natural habitat starting now.
Pubs in both the saloon and private bars... And cocktail places as well, of course. I hang around there, always hoping
Derek
that
Nimmer
someone...
Challenge.
Division of course.
Yes, it's one word and things.
Of course.
Really rotten. I mean, it was just getting underway. It was getting nice, the cocktail bar. I was loving all that. I mean, it was getting really warmed up, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Well, I don't think he was very warmed up. I think he was a bit... He was a bit miserable about his natural habitat, but anyway, no, you did repeat yourself, Peter, so there are 21 seconds left for Derek Nimmer to talk on my natural habitat starting now.
My natural habitat are the wild moors of northern Scotland, wandering along with my kilt swishing around my knees and my claymore by my side.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
You wander about in a kilt, not with a kilt.
If you're wearing trousers, you have to carry it.
He was wondering, but he did say with his kilt swishing around, which made...
No.
He also said he had his claymore by his side. That was the most extraordinary thing I know.
That was genuine deviation, but...
Yes, right.
Clement, I will give you the subject, and there are 11 seconds for my natural habitat starting now.
My natural habitat... are the fenlands of Cambridgeshire, which are flat predominantly, although there is a hill 123 feet high in Haddenham.
Clement Freud was then speaking. As the whistle went, he gained an extra point, and with that flat comment of his, we have to bring the game to an end. Let me give you the final score. This week, Kenneth Williams, who has been winning once or twice recently, I'm afraid finished in fourth place. He contributed his usual value to the programme, which we enjoy so much. Peter Jones, who contributed his wit and bonhomie as well, in his natural habitat, came in second place, 1 point behind Clement Freud, but they were all quite a way behind this week's winner, who is Derek Nimmo. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, the battle of wits, of verbal ingenuity, and we'll want to join in again at the same time, not join in, join us again at the same time next week, when we will have, as usual, four panelists and myself trying to keep order in Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Brough.